By the way, you know, here we are. We got the second week as far as the College Football Playoff Committee poll that came out on Tuesday. And, you know, I noticed after last weekend with not only Alabama but Penn State falling after the first poll, and, you know, in the storyline that so far going into this year, four previous teams starting in 2014 that were ranked in the top four in that first poll when they lost after the first week, none of those four teams made it into the playoff. And I was quick to point out on Monday that, oh, yeah, fine, you can throw that out there. I'm going to give you teams like a Michigan State in 2015 that wasn't even ranked. They were seventh. They lose after the initial poll, fall to 13. They made it into the playoff. And then three other teams, Clemson in 2016, lost after the second week. They made it to the playoff, won the national championship. And then in 2017, we had a Georgia team at number one, just like, you know, a Georgia team this week at number four. They go into Auburn, lose. Georgia makes it not only to the playoff, they play for the national title against a team in Alabama who fell after 4 weeks. They lost and still made it to the playoff, and they won the national title. So, you know, it's great where we stand, but with the difference between 2014 and 2019 is the fact that we have 11 teams going into this weekend still very much can make a case that they could be one of the four playoff teams if they take care of their business.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, stats like that are nice, but they're just kind of historical anecdotes to throw in as kind of the basis of somebody's argument. I don't think Penn State or Alabama are quite out of the playoff picture yet or anywhere close to it.
Exactly.
Penn State, for its part, like totally controls its own destiny. If Penn State wins out, it's going to the College Football Playoff. That would mean beating Ohio State and likely Minnesota in the Big Ten Championship game. I don't think Alabama's out either. The Crimson Tide have clearly shown the committee that they're one of the better teams in the country. They placed them fifth even after a loss to LSU. And we've seen teams kind of in that position hold throughout the rest of the kind of process. And there's certainly a chance a Big 12 or Pac 12 team really impresses down the line and jumps Alabama. But yeah, I think you'd be short-sighted to eliminate the Tide or the Nittany Lions after just one loss.
I was making the joke about an Oregon team that right now, certainly when you talk about a team from the Pac 12, they will have the opportunity, if they win their last three regular season games, a chance then to play in the Pac 12 conference title game is most likely against a Utah team. Here's an Oregon team certainly pulling for Auburn to take care of business against Georgia. But at the same time, you know, you got to be careful if you're Oregon, because if Auburn looks too good and then Bama beats Auburn by double digits at the end of the month, then that makes Oregon's loss to Auburn that much worse from back in Labor Day.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess there's Auburn fans all over the country this
Absolutely.
Time of year, including in Eugene and Tuscaloosa, which is, it must be tough for Alabama fans to kind of stomach that.
Right.
Yeah, I think Auburn's kind of the key to the entire November in college football. There are half a dozen teams that are really counting on Auburn for a big win or a resume booster. And when you throw in the fact that Auburn's potentially got some coaching intrigue there, it's a really interesting place to start. But, yeah, Alabama and Oregon and Utah certainly want Auburn to beat Georgia this weekend. And then I'm sure the Ducks would be quite happy if Auburn took care of business against Alabama later in the month as well to kind of throw away the Tide from the conversation. But yeah, Auburn has a lot to say over the next couple of weeks in terms of how the college football playoff picture is going to play out.
Chris Hummer joining us again, the national writer for college football with 24/7 Sports. You know, Chris, when I look at some of these matchups, sometimes you've got teams in this position where the season has not played out the way they wanted. In some cases, you don't know mentally, you know, where their mindset might be. Some cases, they just want to end the season and march on. But then again, you have certain situations. I threw out the example with a Kentucky team coming to town tomorrow here in Nashville against Vanderbilt, and you've got a Mark Stoops who is certainly one of the prime candidates to be the next head coach at Florida State, for example, and you've got a lot of coaches in this situation. So, you know, it helps them, and if you're a fan of a particular team, it helps your team perform well, knowing you've got coaches like that that maybe they're more motivated just besides trying to get a W, and they'll say all the right things, but also they're also thinking about their families and their career as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where there's a lot of back channeling going on, a lot of agents kind of talking with people behind the scenes. I think the best coaches figure out a way to get their teams to stay in the moment and kind of attack the season. It doesn't always go that way. I've seen situations where it goes completely sideways when coaches start kind of talking about other jobs and have to address rumors about other jobs. But I think you see the better teams handled every season. I think Nick Saban has figured out a way. He has assistant coaches hired out from under him seemingly every offseason for bigger jobs, and he still gets his teams to kind of hammer down. And there are numerous examples of that. PJ Fleck has been mentioned for jobs coast to coast, USC and Florida State, and his Gophers did an excellent job last weekend coming off the bye. So, yeah, I think the better coaches handle those situations well and get their teams to concentrate. But there's certainly a lot of extra chatter this time of year.
Chris, I'd like to get your thoughts on this one. You know, I'm a Florida State grad. I've been in conversations with the Seminole Boosters Club, and so I know a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes, what went wrong, you know, the last search, et cetera, and the ways that they're trying to make sure the similar kind of mistakes don't happen again. But early on, you know, you got that list of, okay, these are nice four or five names. But before that, you also had the names of like Bob Stoops. I'm just not convinced that Bob Stoops wants to get into the 365-day, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week situation again as a head coach for a Power 5 conference team. But the other name that was out there, and it's like, well, why would he want to leave, knowing that he's probably in his dream job, per se, and that's James Franklin with Penn State. And the more and more I'm hearing behind the scenes that, you know, don't be so quick to dismiss that possibility. And you go and you start figuring out why. And the reasons is really simple. When you think about the ACC, you know, there's some, you know, nice, good teams that will be 6-6, 7-5. But how many Clemsons in the ACC are there? Just Clemson. And not unless Florida State is rocking and rolling. I bring it up because if you're Penn State, just in your division alone, you've got to deal with Ohio State. You have to deal with Michigan. You have to deal with Michigan State. And certainly here's a Penn State team that got shocked last week by Minnesota. They still have to, after Indiana, which is not an easy out, they have to deal with Ohio State in two Saturdays from now. You could see why all of a sudden nicer weather, the nice recruiting grounds of the state of Florida, why Florida State would be attractive to a James Franklin.
Yeah, often when there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire at least. And I've heard James Franklin's name brought up for Florida State and also U.S. whenever the Clay Helton situation gets brought out. And I know James Franklin's going to shoot all those conversations down, shoot all those rumors down. And he could very well end up staying at Penn State. That is an excellent job with a ton of tradition. But as you said, that job also comes with some hurdles. It is difficult to win in the Big Ten East. Penn State is one of three teams every season that legitimately believes it has a chance to win that division. And right now, Ohio State is probably the most talented team in the country, maybe outside of Alabama. So that's kind of a juggernaut to go against every year, just to get out of your division on the college football playoff race. And recruiting in Pennsylvania, it's not like a bad place to recruit. You can dip into the DMV in Maryland and kind of the northeastern region. Penn State, being the only team that really excels from that area right now, has their kind of pickings of those guys. You're also not recruiting at a place as fertile as a place like Florida or a place like California. So I think if I was James Franklin and I was trying to figure out the easiest path to the championship, and when you're somebody at James Franklin's level, which is an elite head coach, you're looking for the easiest path to a championship and the place where you can sustain winning the easiest. The Big Ten East is a really difficult place to do that. The ACC Atlantic, on the other hand, you have to deal with Clemson, but there are certain advantages to be there, including being in Florida, and the rest of the ACC is pretty soft. And if you're talking about the Pac-12, that place is wide open. So if you're James Franklin, in my opinion, you at least have to give those two jobs a lot of attention this offseason, just because the ultimate goal of the head coach is to win a championship, and both of those places probably present a much less hindering path towards that goal.
Chris Hummer joining us again. Before we let you go, Clemson from the ACC right now. In fact, when we look at the possibilities, I threw out that number 11 earlier as far as teams with still national championship hopes. SEC with three, Big Ten with three, Pac-12 with two, Big 12 with two, and there's the ACC with one. I've watched a Clemson team back in 16, three-touchdown favorite, lose to Pittsburgh. 2017, same situation, triple. You know, they were over a three-touchdown favorite against Syracuse, lose. Last year, they were a three-plus touchdown favorite against Syracuse, needed that last gasp effort on that drive to win and beat them. And then earlier this year, we saw it against North Carolina. Once again, a situation where a three-touchdown favorite, North Carolina decides to go for two with just over a minute to go. It fails. Clemson prevails. I bring it up because if you're a team that over the last, you know, four seasons that has shown us, even when they're favored by triple, you know, by three touchdowns or more, they have stumbled. That means they probably have maybe another one in them. If that is the case, if there is a game for Clemson, when will it occur? Will it be against Wake Forest this weekend, at South Carolina on the 30th, or in the ACC title game?
I would bet on none of the above. Clemson tends to get better as the season goes along. I think we've seen that historically. When they start to really get things going late in the year, most of those stumbles were in late September, early October, before the engine really gets revving. But if you had to pick one, I think you have to go with South Carolina. That's the most naturally talented team left on the schedule. Clemson has to go to South Carolina this season. That's not an easy place to play when it's rocking. But even when you kind of consider that, South Carolina is starting a true freshman quarterback. South Carolina is so thin at wide receiver right now. Walk-ons are getting legitimate runs and snaps. South Carolina is talented enough defensively to at least challenge Clemson, but I have a hard time seeing that team keep up. So unless Miami, and this Miami team has been extremely hot and cold this year, but unless Miami ends up coming out of the Coastal, which is a long shot at this point, kind of given what would have to break and what would have to occur in that division for Miami to come out, then I think Clemson's going to roll into the playoff, quite frankly. There's not much left in front of them to kind of stop them in their path, which is a team that's pretty dominant right now.